Here's Nancy Lee DeMoss on the power of habit.
It's unlikely that I will have greater character and convictions and faith 40 years from now than I am developing and exercising today. If I don't follow the Lord wholeheartedly in my 40s, I'm not likely to do so in my 80s. If I'm not diligent and vigorous in warfare today, I'm not likely to be winning major battles or making significant spiritual conquests in the evening of my life.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Friday, October 31st, 2014. Through several series this fall, we've been learning from the life of Joshua. Early in his life, the Lord began calling him to fight great battles. And later in life, he faced other kinds of battles. Staying faithful during the challenges of old age, leaving a legacy, and running all the way to the finish line. Nancy will explore those today.
Some time ago, I was asked to join others in writing a letter of congratulations to a friend of mine who was turning 80. His name is Al Sanders, and many of you know the voice of Al Sanders. He was, I think, the original announcer on Chuck Swindoll's Insight for Living program. He's been for many years the announcer on Johnny Erickson Tata's program. He's been very actively involved in the Christian radio industry for many years, and he and his wife Margaret are a precious couple, great servants of the Lord. So I was more than happy to write a letter to Al for his 80th birthday, and I want to read to you a portion of what I said in that letter. Dear Al, in anticipation of your birthday, I did a little research on octogenarians and discovered that they have quite a list of accomplishments to their credit. For example, Bob Flink of Grand Rapids gathered with area skiers to celebrate his 85th birthday and his over 8 decades of downhill skiing. Not only does he regularly hit the slopes for pleasure, he serves Cannonsburg Ski Area on ski patrol or as a first responder when fellow skiers need help at 85. And then at age 80, Bill Wambach of Madison, Wisconsin, broke the high jump record for an octogenarian, clearing the bar at 4'1 6/10". And then there's 83-year-old Edward Rappaport, who recently completed the L.A. Marathon and is finishing his thesis at Cal State Northridge to earn a master's degree in health sciences with an emphasis in gerontology. And this one, Swiss octogenarian Mark Hodler has been a member of the International Olympic Committee since 1963, headed the International Skiing Federation for an astonishing 47 years, retiring in 1998, and was president of the Swiss Bridge Federation for 30 years. Recently in Bermuda, he was named Bridge Personality of the Year by the International Bridge Press Association. And then in February, incumbent President Abdoulaye Wade of Senegal, now in his 80s, ran against 14 other candidates. He won the election in the first round with almost 56% of the vote. Well, I listed several others, and then I went on to say to my friend Al, as impressive as these feats are, it strikes me that they are all temporal, and few will long be able to recall these men's names or what occasioned their fleeting moments in the spotlight. Further, when it comes to true success and impact, I said to Al, from my perspective, none of these high achievers holds a candle to the impact your life has made and will continue to make for generations to come, should the Lord tarry. I said, I'm grateful for the health and vigor the Lord has given you and Margaret, and have no doubt that you will continue to make a mark in even more significant ways than these achievements as you invest your life in serving the Lord and others, which is exactly what Al and Margaret to this date are still doing so faithfully. Now, in this series on the life of Joshua, we've come to Joshua chapters 14 and 15, and here we have the story of two individuals who are old men, Joshua and Caleb. I'm going to insert the story about Caleb here, even though he's not really the object of our study, because I want to continue to talk a bit more about this subject of aging and doing it from God's perspective. The name Caleb actually means dog. And one dictionary of Bible names says that the implications of his name are bold, impetuous, and wholehearted. And I think that those terms would describe Caleb. We looked at Joshua as an old man in the last session. Now we're looking at Caleb in Joshua 14. He was a bold man, a wholehearted man at every season and age of his life. Look with me, if you would, at chapter 14 of Joshua, beginning in verse 6. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, which was the base camp, the base of operations there. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me." Now, by the way, in these verses, if you're used to, and this is such an important principle of Bible study, is to notice words or phrases that are repeated. And one phrase you'll find repeated in one form or another five times in verses 6 through 12 is what the Lord has said, what the Lord said. And Caleb knows specific things that God has said regarding his situation. He believes them, he applies them, he claims them, and they all come true. So he says, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me." Verse 7, "I was 40 years old," Caleb says, "when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land." Now, Joshua knows this story well because Joshua was one of those 12 spies who, along with Caleb, was sent to spy out the land. "And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me, the other 10 spies, made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." And again, Joshua remembers this scene well. Most of the other people living in that day do not remember because they were all under age 20 at the time. They were teenagers or children. But Joshua and Caleb remember that God sent 12 of them into the land and said, "Tell us what you see." And the next step was supposed to be the whole nation of Israel would go and take possession of the land. But when the 12 spies came back, 10 of them said, "There are giants in the land." Well, they all said there are giants in the land, but 10 of them said, "The giants are too big for us. We cannot take over this land." And the two, Joshua and Caleb, said, "The giants are no match for God. God is bigger than the giants. We can go into the land." The nation chose to believe the 10 who brought back the message of fear rather than the two who came back with the message of faith. And as a result, the children of Israel were not able to go into the land. They spent the next 38 years wandering in the wilderness. Just a little background here, and this is what Caleb is remembering and talking to Joshua about now that it's years later. I came across two quotes that I want to share with you that I thought were terrific, reflecting on that season and how Joshua and Caleb had been men of faith rather than fear. Jim Boyce, in his commentary on the book of Joshua, says, "Compared to the giants, the Jews seem like grasshoppers. Caleb and Joshua looked at God rather than circumstances. And when compared to God, the giants were as grasshoppers." Isn't that good? It's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? And then Alan Redpath, who also has written an excellent book on Joshua, he says the majority, that's the majority of the spies, measured the giants against their own strength. Caleb and Joshua measured the giants against God. The majority trembled. The two triumphed. The majority had great giants, but a little God. Caleb and Joshua had a great God and little giants. And really, people kind of fall into those two categories today, don't they? And I find some days I'm in the place of Caleb and Joshua, big God, little giants. And some days I'm in the place of the 10 spies, big giants, little God. It's a matter of faith and perspective. And the big takeaway, by the way, for me from the life of Joshua over all these months has been along these lines. Just realizing how prone I have been to focus on the giants rather than focusing on God. And I've had just a huge adjustment in my perspective over these last months as I've been living with the life of Joshua and coming to see giants from a whole different perspective because I've lifted up my eyes and I'm seeing God. But you know what? Sometimes it's not 9 o'clock in the morning before I'm focused on the giants again. And that's where we have to keep going back and keep fixing our eyes on the Lord and keep remembering that the giants are no match for God, whatever they may be in your life. Well, Caleb goes on to say in verse 9, "On that day, Moses swore, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden, said this to Joshua and Caleb, because you believed God, surely this land shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Now here it is, 45 years later, and Caleb still remembers the promise that God made to him when he was a much younger man. He remembers the promises of God. He remembers the word of God, and he claims it. He applies the word to his situation. And I'm just struck as I read this, how important it is for us to get to know the word and the promises of God, and then to bank our life on them. Lord, you said. Now I'm claiming that. Now, not every promise in the Bible is ours to claim, but find the ones that are and bank your life on them, whether you're 40 or 85. And whether God gave them years ago or has given them more recently, center your life on the promises and the word of God and claim that it's true. Now, by the same token, I see that Caleb had to wait 45 years to receive the answer to this promise. 45 years earlier, God had promised him this inheritance. And all those years, he didn't experience the fulfillment of that promise. You wonder if sometime during those years, as they were wandering in the wilderness, he didn't say, to himself at least, did God really mean that? Am I ever going to get to live in that land? Am I going to live to see Canaan, much less put down roots there and have an inheritance there? But God said, and he kept taking his heart back to the counsel of God, the promises of God, the word of God. I want to remind you that rewards for faithfulness don't always come now. They may come later in life. It may seem that God's promises to you will never be fulfilled. But I want to challenge you, stay faithful now. Cling to God, cling to his promises, be faithful, and in due season, you will reap the reward. I think of older couples I've met, old couples, people who have married 50, 60 years or more. And all of those couples would testify that there were seasons in their marriage years earlier where it would have been real easy to throw in the towel. Some of them almost did, but now they're so thankful that they hung in there, so thankful that they were faithful to those marriage vows. And almost without exception, I have seen that when they get to that last season of their lives, they're experiencing a richness and a sweetness and a beauty in their relationship that maybe 30 years ago they never dreamed that they would have. Maybe 30 years ago they were thinking, I don't know that I can stand to live with you for another 30 years. But now they look at each other, and their lives have been blended together, and they love each other, and they're committed to each other, and they always will say, I'm so thankful that God gave us grace to stay faithful. They're reaping now the rewards, long-term, of decisions that they made 20, 30, 40 years ago to be faithful when it was hard. Well, Caleb goes on to say, verse 10, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. I love those verses. And over many years, I have just said, Lord, if it would please you, would you let me have to 85 to serve you with strength, with a whole heart? Now, God may not give me 85 years. He may not give me 85 more days. God may give me more than 85 years. But I've just asked him, if it would please him, would he let me be a modern day Caleb? To be faithful and wholehearted and still living as a woman of faith when I'm 85 years of age. Caleb has seen the hand of God in his life. He says, the Lord has kept me alive. And he realizes it's for a purpose that God has done this. Let me say that old age is an opportunity to showcase God's sustaining power and grace. Whether you're strong as Caleb was, or whether you're weak as many more are, there are not many at the age of 85 who can say, I'm as strong today as I was at age 40. And that was supernatural strength. It's like what we read about in Deuteronomy 34 about Moses. He was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. That's supernatural. That's unusual. And God doesn't normally do it that way. But let me say this. Faith will give you strength. And on the other hand, unbelief and rebellion will sap your strength. I have seen that in my own life over and over again. Worry, anxiety, fear, unbelief, they make me weak. But faith makes me strong. Faith in the Lord, not faith in myself. Faith in God gives us courage. Whereas when we give in to unbelief and fear, it makes us cowardly and fearful. And so here's Caleb exercising faith and courage. He says in verse 12, 85 years of age, "So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities." I don't know if you remember reading about the Anakim earlier in our study, but they were the giants and the descendants of the giants. And Caleb remembers that they were there. And he says, "It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." I'll tell you, the older I get, the more I face the temptation to want to take it easy, to want to stay out of the battle, to want to just relax. But not so with Caleb. At age 85, he is still looking for more battles to fight for the Lord. And he's not looking for the easy ones. He chooses the hill country where the giants are living in large fortified cities. But he's learned long ago that the Lord is his strength. He says, "It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said." And so at the age of 85, as he had done at the age of 40, he trusts in God. He trusts in the presence of God, the power of God, and the promises of God. Reminds me of what the psalmist says in Psalm 18, "For by you, Lord, I can run against a troop, and by my God, I can leap over a wall." I'll just tell you, at this age, I'm not leaping over many walls physically. But by God's grace, I want to be spiritually living not in the realm of the explainable or the natural, but in the realm of the supernatural by faith. Well, verse 13, "Then Joshua blessed him," blessed Caleb, "and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance." I love that verse. Joshua, who's a type of Christ, remember, our heavenly Joshua. Jesus is the Greek word for the Old Testament Hebrew word Joshua. Joshua blessed Caleb. One commentator said that word "bless" here means to make potent, to reproduce and prevail. And so here is Joshua blessing this 85-year-old man. Joshua himself is in his 90s, and he's an old man blessing an old man to make him potent, to reproduce and prevail. And he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Joshua is infusing strength, the strength of the Lord, into Caleb, as the Lord does to us when we are willing to move forward for him. I think that's a picture of what our relationship with Christ is supposed to be about, where we say, "Lord, I want more for you. It's not for me, it's for you. It's so people can know how great you are." And our heavenly Joshua says, "I bless you. I'll make you potent to reproduce and to prevail. It's not your strength, it's mine." And then he gives us that which we have asked from him for his glory. So don't lose heart, but live for the ultimate blessing of your heavenly Joshua. It's worth waiting for. Caleb waited all these years, and he finally got it. And then we see in Caleb's life the lifelong impact of choices that he made as a younger man. Earlier in his life, he had walked by faith. He had acted according to what God had put in his heart, even when to do so meant being politically incorrect. He followed the Lord wholeheartedly in a day when he and Joshua were the only two who did. But those choices, that character, those convictions that characterized Caleb's life as a young man stayed with him throughout his whole life. And that became the basis, the foundation for his life when he was an older man. That's a good reminder for me. I'm not 85 or close to it yet, but I have to realize that it's unlikely that I will have greater character and convictions and faith 40 years from now than I am developing and exercising today. If I don't follow the Lord wholeheartedly in my 40s, I'm not likely to do so in my 80s. If I'm not diligent and vigorous in warfare today, I'm not likely to be winning major battles or making significant spiritual conquests in the evening of my life. Now is the time, whatever age you are, to exercise faith, to be faithful and fervent in spirit, if we desire to be vigorous and vital in our faith and our service at the end of our lives. So here's a man of faith, a man of vision. Caleb doesn't have a retirement mindset. He's willing to embrace the challenges and stay in the battle. He's saying, as we need to, how can my life demonstrate the power and the greatness of God at this age and at this season of life? What will bring him the greatest glory? Let me just share with you in closing here how I ended the letter that I sent to my friend Al Sanders as he was celebrating his 80th birthday. I said to him, I love that verse in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, that says, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day." In my mind, you and Margaret exemplify that verse as your lives have radiated the life of Christ in ever-increasing measure over the decades that you have known and served him. Indelibly imprinted in my mind, I said to him, are the words you shared upon receiving the William Ward Ayer Award at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention a few years ago, as you expressed your desire to finish well. When you received that award, Al Sanders said, I pray every day, Lord, let me finish well. And I remembered that. I said to him, thank you for demonstrating that it really is possible to keep running well in the race that is set before us. Often when I get tired or I'm tempted to go AWOL in the ministry, I think of fellow servants like you and Margaret, and I'm inspired to be faithful and to keep running by his grace. May the Lord grant you a full and rich measure of his grace in this season of your life, and may he keep you faithful in the race all the way to the finish line. With affection, appreciation, and admiration, Nancy DeMoss. And let me just say that I feel that same affection, appreciation, and admiration to those of you who are older women and have been faithful in the race and are still faithful. Thank you. Thank you for staying faithful. Thank you for setting the pace. Thank you for setting the course. Thank you for being there and for the challenge and blessing that your life is to other women, younger women like myself. And to those of you who are younger women or young women, can I just say, press on. Don't try to figure out how you're going to do it when you're 85. Do it now. It's God's grace. I was thinking this morning about that hymn, "'Tis grace has brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us safely home." So, Lord, how I pray that you would calibrate our hearts at whatever age or season we may be, that we will follow you wholeheartedly now and develop the kind of character and convictions and faith that will go with us through all of our lives. There's still a lot of battles to be fought. There's still a lot of land to be taken. And may our lives continue to exercise faith. May we, like Caleb, be saying, I want that mountain. Not for my sake, but, oh Lord, for your glory and for the sake of your great name. Keep us faithful, Lord, in the race all the way to the finish line. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Aging is a reality for all of us, no matter where we are in the journey. Nancy Lee DeMoss is helping us face the future wisely. That message you just heard is part of the series Lessons from the Life of Joshua, Part 12, Leaving a Legacy. We're exploring the life of Joshua from start to finish through several series this fall. To get an individual series or all the series on CD, visit reviveourhearts.com. All this month, we've been letting you know about the Revive Our Hearts Wall Calendar. Our team has been producing a calendar each year for a long time, and a lot of listeners look forward to it every fall. Why a calendar? Well, you need reminders of the truth all the time. We like to point you to biblical truth in this tangible way. As you look at this year's calendar, you'll be reminded to look to the Lord for peace in the storm. We'll all face storms this coming year. It's a fact of life. And this calendar will help you set your heart on the truth through those quotes from Nancy and her friends, and through original artwork from Timothy Botts. When you donate any amount to support Revive Our Hearts, we'll say thanks by sending the calendar, one per household. Today's the final day we'll be letting you know about this offer. So call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, think about someone you know who is truly joyful. You could choose to be just like that person no matter what problems threaten your joy. We'll explore that Monday. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.